And everybody stopped. I said, Sanskrit? And Prabhupada said, no, English. So I had a request. At one time, Prabhupada was stranded in maybe Singapore or Hong Kong, where you had to get an exit visa, which meant you had to get a vaccination. And Prabhupada told them, it was Harikesh and some other brahmachari. And Prabhupada told them, I am not getting this shot. You go and get, you had to have a certificate from a doctor that you got it. He says, you go and get the shot and get the paper. Put my name. So the two, Harikesh and the other brahmachari, go to a doctor. And they get the shot, and then he fills out the paper, and then he fills it, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And the doctor says, now put your birthday. Now you can't put 1896. And if you put 1950, when Prabhupada used it, they would say, you weren't born in 1950, you're an old man. So he says to Harikesh, what are you doing? So Harikesh starts chanting Hare Krishna crazy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, and the doctor says, put your birthday. They said, I can't, this guy is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The doctor says, okay, fill it in when you get back, when you get home. And Prabhupada got you don't have this problem anymore, but in the beginning it was nobody wanted to do the dishes. You don't have that problem anymore, right? But in the beginning, there were only about 12 of us, so and we wanted, and I was cooking, so Prabhupada said, the cook should not have to do the dishes, because it is occupational dissonance there. So it was, and it's true, because while you're cooking, you're always cleaning the dishes. And also, let's say you want to say, I want to use that pot, but I don't want to have to clean it after. So it's, the cook should not have to wash dishes. So become cooks. But nobody wanted to do the dishes. So Prabhupada called us in to his room. He says, look, everyone take one day. And nobody spoke. It was finally someone said, I'll do Saturday. And then they're looking around. So I'll do Monday. And then nobody. And then I'll do Friday. Then there was long silence. And Prabhupada's looking. So Prabhupada raised his hand. He said, I will take Thursday. So, what else? More. How much more?
Followed by Mother Ananga Manjari.
What did I write? Prabhupada never showed any mystical power except for turning the whole world into Krishna consciousness. Now, this is Yoga Maya. There's so many stories. There was a story that, Rath Yatra in New York, Choshan Krishna went to get the permit, and they said, What is this? We can't, Hare Krishna festival, Hindu festival, it's not, it's religious. It's, what is it? He said, well, we're pulling a cart. Okay. Yeah, they would show up with a 50-foot cart. There are policemen who request to be on duty for the Rath Yatra, and they love it. And there were some devotees one year, they said, it looks like it's going to rain. And the policeman said, don't worry, when you start, it always clears up. One policeman arrested a devotee off the street. It wasn't real, he just said, you sit on the bench there and I'll tell you when you can go. And put your books on my desk. And apparently he was reading the songbook. Because he said, okay, you can go now. And then he said, hey, before you go, what's a bimbo fruit? He was reading Dhammadharasa. There was a devotee in plain clothes who was going around a hotel, big hotel, and the security was chasing him with his books, and he was running through the hall. And finally, they corner him. He said, okay, well, I'll leave. No. You're the guest speaker at this event here in the convention hall. They thought. So he goes, and there's a big hall, 300-400 people. He gets to the mic and starts preaching Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. And he goes in and distributes books. It was a convention of butchers. There's many stories. The story of the most, the story I love, and I want, where is the Kirti Raj? Kirti Raj liberated hundreds of Russians from India, from Russia to India, by working with embassies and government, and I want him to make a video. I'm saying this in front of all these people, so he will be bound to make a YouTube video describing all the events that happened for him and Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and they rescued hundreds. But he made it? Okay. I can't hear you.
4 hours they described the whole thing.
The whole thing? Okay, so what's it called? Hari Kesh. Okay. So there was a Russian, a devotee in plain clothes, would use the distributing books in a square in this KGB. You come with me. Walk down the street. You turn that way. They're getting a small. He's going to shoot me. Turn around. You have Gita? Yes. I want Gita. Yeah, we've got to run. This is Yogi Maya's activity. Who's next?
No, I have a question.
I
was reading last night in Vrindavanita. I was now like hearing from San Francisco to New York. He was having his heart problems.
Yes.
And he asked you to start to
suggest. Yes.
Did it pick up on me? Did everybody hear? Repeat it? No.
Well, that's not a question. What's the question? Well, it's important to know. Prabhupada called it a heart stroke. It was not. So don't say that Prabhupada had a stroke. There are people that want to. There are enemies of anything. Krishna, and they say he had a stroke, and implying that his mind was he called it a heart stroke, and that he even told me, he said, on the boat, I thought I was very sick. No, I was having heart stroke on the ship coming over, and so we're expecting him to come. I was cooking and finishing, and then he called me into his room, and he says, do it like this, and I felt his heart was fluttering like that. So I run down, I call Kirtanananda, Brahmananda, and so I stayed overnight, and then 2 more times we had to do this. Then we made a mistake and take him to a hospital, and that's where they were giving him shots, and he didn't like that at all. And from his bed, the doctor came in the next day or 2 days. Prabhupada grabbed the doctor's arms and said, I feel all right now. I'm strong. I'm going home. Okay. The doctor's mouth, they thought they had a really good customer. That's what, I mean, patient, But that's what they would think. Who's next?
Hi. Hi. Madan Ananga Manjari, followed by Pushkar Guru.
Krishna consciousness is full of knowledge and entertainment. Thank you. I got an opportunity to speak this morning, but I'm grateful for this opportunity too. So I thought now I would tell a few stories that when I was with Prabhupada. One time in Delhi, I was helping Arundhati cook for him. So she asked me to go to the market and get lychees. And at that time, I didn't know what lychees were. It's a nice little fruit, very fragrant fruit. So I was looking around the marketplace. I couldn't find them. One gentleman came up to me, said, how can I help you? And I said, I'm looking for lychees for my Guru Maharaj. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is speaking tonight. Please come and, So he found the lychees and he bought a big bag for Prabhupada. And then we were having darshan later in the evening and that gentleman walked in And as soon as he walked in, Prabhupada saw he's an educated man, so he asked him, please sit down right next to him. And he started saying that everyone is enjoying or suffering in this world according to their karma. And he said, some people are enjoying this much, some people are suffering this much. It's all according to your karma. And he kept repeating this. He said, but when you become a Krishna conscious person, then no more karma, no more happiness, no more distress. And he was repeating this a few times in different ways. Then he paused at one point, and I thought, you know, here we are, I am trying to be a devotee, and yet I'm feeling happiness and I'm feeling distress. So I kind of, there was a pause, and I said, Prabhupada, what about we're trying to be devotees, but do we still have some karma according to our past? Something is still coming? And he said, no more karma. It's all Krishna. It's all Krishna. He said, no more happiness, no more distress. I said, and what about the distress, Prabhupada? We're feeling distress sometime. I kind of blurted it out. You know, what about the distress? I could understand. He said, all of our happiness is coming from Krishna. So that I could understand. That's easy. We're in kirtan. We're dancing. We're hearing philosophy and all the love of the devotees. So yes, that's happiness, ecstasy. But I blurted out, but the distress too, Srila Prabhupada. He said, it's all Krishna. He said, anytime you feel happiness, that is coming from Krishna. Anytime you're feeling distress, that is also coming from Krishna. And then he said, it is just like the chatak bird. Sometimes the chatak bird, he drinks the water from the clouds. And he's always praying to the clouds, where is rain? Where is rain? Because I'm thirsty, I need the rain. He goes, but sometimes he gets thunderbolts. And Prabhupada went just like that I felt it was like right to me, thunderbolt. And I went, whoa, you know. So then he said, but still he goes to the clouds only for the rain, the chatak bird. So still, even though we get Krishna's kiss, or Krishna's kick, or thunderbolt mercy. I like to call it thunderbolt mercy. It's coming from Krishna, and it's good for us. It's for us to learn lessons. It's for us to correct ourselves. There's nothing wrong in correcting ourselves. If there's some mistake, none of us are perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. So correcting myself constantly, sometimes when I was young as a devotee, I joined when I was 16, so I kept thinking, whoa, by the time I'm 30, man, I'm going to be a pure devotee. I'll be like, you know, clear of all material, you know, desires and inebrieties. And, you know, I'll be flying up there. You know, I can really preach then. Then I'd be kind of getting close to 30. I was thinking, this isn't. I've got a long way to go. So now I still see it's a constant cleansing and a constant conscious effort to keep going in Krishna consciousness and getting more and more closer to Krishna and what Prabhupada wanted us to be. But at the same time, it's a joyous process. We're enjoying the trip along the way. We're smelling the roses. We're seeing the beautiful scenery of the beautiful deities and the scenery of our hearts opening up in so many realizations and ways to the knowledge and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Do I have time for another story?
What happened to the leeches?
Oh, Prabhupada got his leeches. Yeah, and the gentleman was right there listening, and he was very appreciative, and it was very nice. And Prabhupada was always very particular about making sure that every one of his guests got prasadam after the after his darshans. And in Bombay, a very famous actor at the time, Dada Singh, very big man, like almost like a giant, kind of tall, big guy. He used to play Hanuman and Bhima and all the old Hindi movies. So he played these parts of devotional, you know, parts, Dada Singh. And he came to visit Prabhupada. And I just remember in the doorway looking, and him and Prabhupada were standing in the doorway, and Prabhupada was of small frame and short, And this man was huge, like real Hanuman. And he was bowing down to Prabhupada. And it would just look so amazing and wonderful that even such powerful personality and famous and rich personality is respecting the spiritual power of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. I got to be in a drama. Chitananda Prabhu was also in that drama. It was a Janmashtami time in Bombay, and we were doing the advent of Lord Krishna. So I got to be Devaki, and someone was Kamsa, and Chitananda was Narada Muni. Mm-hmm, Narada Muni. And at that time, the temple was not built, the new temple. So it was, we were still in that shack that Shankar Prabhu was talking about this morning. It was just a shack. But the temple was being built. So there was just the stage, the altar that was going to be the altar was just a big slab of old marble. Concrete, actually. The marble wasn't even on it. It was just a big slab of concrete where the altar is now in Bombay. And it was just all open on the sides. And so someone put a lot of chairs there because Prabhupada was visiting and Janmashtami was going to be the next night or something soon. Anyway, Prabhupada wasn't feeling well and he was leaving for Vrindavan. And before he left, he said, I want to see the drama that someone must have mentioned to him. So he came and many, many life members came to see him off. So the whole place was full. And we performed that drama that night. And I remember as Devaki, I had to, you know, I'm praying, you know, for being safe, you know, like because Kamsa's going to kill us and all that. So I kept looking like, where is Prabhupada in the audience? And I was saying all my prayers to him. And then when he left, he got up to walk off at the end of the drama we're chanting. He's ready to walk off. And I was looking, I'm saying, where is he? Where's Prabhupada? And so I just spontaneously, I thought, I may never see Prabhupada again because he's not feeling well. He's going to Vrindavan. I'm leaving India soon and I may never see him. So I spontaneously just jumped off the stage and I went running outside. Many life members were walking around and getting in their cars to go see Prabhupada off at the airport. And one car was open, the doors were open, waiting for someone. Prabhupada's car already left. So I grabbed my friend, who was very shy, Aditya. She passed away, I think, this year. Aditya. A very humble, devotional person. And so she, I grabbed her and I said, we have to go see Prabhupada. So we jumped in the car, and then several of the sannyasis came by because it was their car that they were going to be taking. So it was Giriraj Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and one or two others. Anyway, they were going to get in this car, but then when they saw me, and I'm kind of in this costume still of Devaki, the wedding costume, and my eyes were all smeared, and I'm going, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. They said, let her stay, let her stay. That was kind. They all squished. Someone squished in the front seat, and off we went. When we got to the airport, no one was there at the airport. The devotees were either inside or they hadn't arrived yet. So everyone in that car just went straight into the airport. And my friend and I were standing there because one brahmachari came running out and said, Prabhupada's not here yet. So we're thinking, where could he be? He's not here yet. So we were just standing wondering what to do. Just my friend and I, and no one else was on. It wasn't a crowded airport at all. And all of a sudden, this car pulls up, the ambassador, old ambassador car, pulls up right next to us because they realized there's the devotees. This must be the place. We didn't know where we were, but it was Prabhupada's car. And no one opened his door. He opened the door in the back seat himself, and he stood up, and I was right there. And he just smiled and was looking at me, and I'm in this costume. Now, I have to rewind because I almost forgot a very important part of the story. Several months earlier, I was in Vrindavan, and a beautiful drama was being performed by Lokamangala and Rasigya, and Prabhupada was watching it in the courtyard. And I couldn't take my eyes off Prabhupada because he was enjoying this drama. So his smile was from ear to ear, and he was just enjoying this drama through the whole thing. And I kept looking at the actors, and then I'd look at Prabhupada and I'd say, I wish I could entertain Prabhupada like that. I wish I could make him smile. I wish I could make him laugh at me like that. And when I said that with such desire, I remember going, I wish I could make him laugh at me. And I looked up and I saw I was just barely under the desire tree, like the tip of the desire tree was right there. And I thought, I wonder if it works, because that was a strong desire I just had. I wonder if it works. So there I am several months later in Bombay doing this drama in front of Prabhupada. And I don't know how he was reacting during the drama, but when he got out of that car, it was raining, so I was soaking wet. I had tears in my makeup, must have been crazy. I had this weird, you know, Indian looking outfit that probably I didn't even know whatever how it was supposed to be originally. But anyway, I'm standing there, and he's just looking at me with this big smile on his face. And I got so excited. I'm like, thank you, Prabhupada, thank you. I was thinking, what can I tell him? All I can tell him is thank you, thank you, thank you, Prabhupada, for everything you gave me. Of course, I paid my obeisances and I stood up, and he's still staring at me. And then he started laughing. He's just laughing at me because I just got so excited. I started jumping up and down and going, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. I'm alone standing on this corner. My friend is going, oh, please. She was the shyest person I know. And then when he walked off very regally with his cane back into the airport, and my friend grabbed my arm and she said, did you see how he smiled at you? Did you see how you made him laugh? And I went, oh, he laughed at me. The desire tree works. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Krishna Prabhu followed by Mother Aditi.
Who wants to hear sad stories? Well, I was there the whole time. Prabhupada was getting ready to leave. So that was pretty somber time. And all the way from April till the day before Prabhupada departed. And so I could start by saying that the day before Prabhupada left, we still thought that Prabhupada was going to stay in the material world, even up to that very day. And I happened to be at the Goshala, and someone said, don't go near the temple, they're looking for you, they want to arrest you because I overstayed my visa. It's another story. So I just snuck around and I went to Delhi. And when I was in Delhi, if anybody remembers Connaught Place, I hope I never see it again, but yeah, it's Connaught Place, nice place. And it was an American Express office or something, and I had to go there to get money or do something for a plane ticket to get out to go to Kathmandu. So just then, Gopal Krishna, who wasn't a Swami, he came running up the stairs, and he said, Prabhupada is leaving in 6 hours. And I was like, how do you know? I mean, Prabhupada's been here the whole time. He's supposed to say 10 years or 10,000 years. He said, no, the Kaviraj said he's leaving in 6 hours. And I just spent my last money. I was wanted in Vrindavan. So I said, what should I do? I spent my last money. He said, no, you stay here. You will have to call. I will call you from Vrindavan when Prabhupada leaves. So that was like something, you know. Okay. So I went back to the temple, and sure enough, at about, you know, just after Prabhupada left, he called. Jayo was there, if anybody remembers Jayo. The two of us were the only ones at the Delhi temple, Feroz Gandhi. Wasn't it? Feroz Gandhi wrote. And so, just in case anybody wants to know all these details, I had to call the West. In those days, you couldn't call out of Vrindavan. Maybe a great endeavor, maybe waiting 3 days, you could call out of Vrindavan. Now anybody, a rickshaw wala, has a cell phone and can call. You can call the moon planet, but in those days, it was impossible. So you had to call the Delhi temple. So anyway, I went to Kathmandu and never got a visa. But Prabhupada's mercy was acting anyway, because when I flew in to Patna, I had no visa. I just flew in there, and the guy said, well, you can't come into India. What are you doing? This is already 3-4 days after Prabhupada left. I said, no, my guru, he left the planet, you know, I have to come. He said, okay, stand me for 72 hours. So that was an extension. But just to give you the idea that we didn't think, even after all the things that happened, like when Prabhupada had gone to England and then come back, he had already become much more thin, if that was possible. And what month was it? August? Yeah, but he lost weight even as he came back, and then people were waiting by the back gate of the Vrindavan temple, and they brought him out of the car, and it was something that couldn't forget. There was a time when Narayan Raj came to see Prabhupada about samadhi. Obviously, this is not a fun story, but this is what was going on at the time. And so after some time, they went out in front of started measuring an area in front of the temple. And we were asking, what was going on? What are they measuring, roping strings here? And they said, oh, that's the samadhi. So even after that, nobody thought Prabhupada was going to leave. And a few days later, I was up in the Krishna Balaram restaurant. Used to be upstairs, just above. You could look down on the back gate, the temple in Vrindavan. And I was looking down to one rickshaw, flatbed rickshaw. Had all these big bags, burlap sacks. So I was talking to Yasodhananda, and he was a Swami at the time. I said, what's all this? And he said, oh, that's this salt for Prabhupada Samadhi. And still, nobody thought Prabhupada was going to leave. He's going to stay. We still thought he was going to stay. So this is the kind of mindset we had in those days. A lot of things happen. The Govardhan Puja Day, it's a famous story. Prabhupada wanted to go on Lokanath's bullock cart and go to around Govardhan Hill. So they were not very enthusiastic. None of the servants like Bhavananda or, you know, Kamal, this, and Prabhupada, you can't go. We could barely turn them over. And they said, no, you can't go. And so I was sitting next to Bhagati, a pretty intimate associate of Prabhupada. And so we were sitting by the generator. There was a generator bench in front of the generator there at the time. And he was sitting on what side? I think he was sitting on my right like this. I said, is Prabhupada going to go to Govardhan? I had no idea what's going to happen. Prabhupada wants to go. They don't want him to go. I said, is he going to go? And he looked at me and he said, he won't go, like that, Bhagavati. Wow. Some of the things were going on. There was a time in Vrindavan, there was this one girl. During that period, she was a little retarded, or pretty retarded. Anyway, she was about 11. And she and two or three little kids who were about 3, they found some pills in the trash. And the little kids, they were smart. They didn't eat the pills, but she ate the pills, the quinine. It's not really poison, but she ate the whole thing, and she left her body. So Smar, I remember Smarahari was carrying in a blanket and came out, and he said, Prabhupada said she went back to Godhead. Anyone who leaves in Vrindavan goes to Vaikuntha, like that. And so that's something to think about. If you were thinking about going to Vrindavan, at least you'll make it to Vaikuntha, even if you are a little retarded and eat poison by accident. One thing that was very bright was Krishnas Babaji. There's a book just came out, Prabhupada's Godbrother. Little book, it's in the mail now. So he used to come periodically. I was in Prabhupada's room a couple times, and he said, where is Babaji Maharaj? And when Babaji Maharaj would come, because he was Paramahansa, Prabhupada had said he is Paramahansa. And he would talk. Sometimes he sang a little. And very, very... In fact, just a week or two before, I had gone to Mathura to bribe these immigration guys to start, keep my immigration status, whatever. Gave them some rupees. And as I was going to the bus stop, which was just a walk, I got a little tap on my back, and it was Krishnas Babaji. And he was holding an umbrella for the sun. And he said, "So, how is your Prabhupada?" Like that. Some people think Krishnas Babaji didn't know English, but he knew full English. Anyway, yeah. "How is your Prabhupada?" And I said, "Oh, just this morning, Kaviraj said he's doing better." Oh, he said, "Oh, Krishna's mercy." And he was doing this little dance. He was such an ecstatic person. He'd laugh and cry simultaneously. So, like that. One time, sitting next to Prabhupada in his room, and Allen Ginsberg had written a card from Bali. It was kind of a funny story. So in the card, he said, "Well, Swamiji, I've heard about your health, and I'm very concerned. Something's concerned." And so Tamal Krishna was reading it. So he read the card. Oh, and Ginsberg said, "I'm practicing non-devotional Buddhism." Because, you know, in Buddhism, if you ever lived in Hawaii, especially, every type of Buddhist, Zen Buddhist, some of them, or they have murtis, and it's very devotional, they offer fruit. Anyway, he said he's practicing non-devotional Buddhism. And so Tamal Maharaj asked him, "Do you want to say anything to Allen Ginsberg?" And so Prabhupada said, and he had a very weak voice, he said, "You can tell him to pray to his non-devotional deity for my improved health." So the idea is that in Prabhupada's mind, there always has to be a deity, even if you're non-devotional, whatever Allen Ginsberg was. I mean, I guess he qualified as something, you know, Prabhupada's association, so said like that. One notable time, when I remember, it was practically the last day that Prabhupada could, with great effort, walk, and he still had, somebody was helping him, and he was taking prasadam in his back room. And one of the chief ministers from South India, Tamil Nadu, I think, he came with his whole family to see Prabhupada. I'm not sure, that's, it's all written there in the memories and all that. But so he came, and we were asked to get chairs and sodas for these people, and we put the chairs out. And they were all waiting for Prabhupada as he came out of the back room. And when he came out, the conversation started more or less that the man was asking that Prabhupada could, if he wanted to come to his hill station in South India, it was very nice, and he could improve his health. And so he was conferring with whoever it was there, Harishari, I'm not sure. And that he had, the astrologers had said he shouldn't travel out of India, shouldn't travel in general. So Prabhupada said, "So I think we can go there, isn't it?" But he was just trying to pacify, he wasn't really planning to go, but he said like that. And then, as the man was saying, "Well, your health, you know, can improve," and Prabhupada said, "Yes, health can improve," but he immediately tweaked the conversation to the health of the human society, talking about the head, the brahmanas. Now, there's no head in human society. It wasn't concerned about all about his own bodily diseases, and so he started talking about Daivi Varnashram to this preaching to this governor, chief minister, I think it was a governor. So like that, Prabhupada was always on topic, Krishna conscious topic. No deviation, santatam, always. Haitiki apratyata. Very powerful. So anybody's going to speak next? Who's going?
Aditi Prabhu, followed by Uddhava Prabhu and Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada. I don't know if all the devotees realized what Prabhupada's schedule was, but he would usually take rest about 10:30, and he would wake up at 1:30, and he would translate till 4:30, 5:30, go for a walk, and then give class when he came back. 1974 in Vrindavan, I was walking past his room, and at that time we didn't have Mangal Arati, but we had just begun to have a Mangal Arati. And I thought of this because the other day I was thinking, I never really saw Prabhupada chanting, you know, except in a movie, real serious japa. But actually that morning I saw Prabhupada walking from the fireplace across to, we called it Brahmananda Swami's room, back to the fireplace, back to Brahmananda Swami's room. Sometimes he would almost fall. He was tired. We don't now realize how tired, you know. He slept at most 2 hours a night. And why did he do that? He did that to give us these books. And Achyutananda Swami said, Prabhupada will live in his books. And we women, we get together to read. Some women have the online version. Some have an old book. Some have a new book. And every book is different. So often the books are different. Once Dira came to my house. She's not here right now. She said, I just read, this was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I just read an amazing purport. Prabhupada repeated 3 times. I said, oh, I want to see it. I pulled out my new Bhagavatams. I looked at the purport, and the three instructions had been taken out. So I'm humbly requesting, I just feel this is really important. If Prabhupada's books are the law books for the next 10,000 years, if we live with him in his books, then let's go back to his original books and let the editors go over the books. And if they think there's a problem, they put a footnote, they put their name at the bottom, they explain the problem. But let's not take away Prabhupada's words. There's nothing more precious than what Prabhupada has given us, and we have to go back to what to Prabhupada's words, what he delivered to us. And I understand sometimes a transcriber, they heard something wrong. Well, you put a footnote and you put the transcriber misunderstood. There was a story about trees or something. That's understandable, but we shouldn't change Prabhupada's words. If he tells something 3 times in a purport, that means that's very, very important and we have to do it. So I'm humbly begging all the devotees, let's solve the problem. Let's not just push it off and, you know, it
nobody here is going to be able to do that tonight.
No, I know. So let's do it together. Let's encourage. Huh? Yeah. I don't mean to be political, but I just really understood this is the precious gift that Prabhupada has given us. So we really need to preserve it. And Prabhupada, I see him, you know, staying up late into the night, always, you know, to give us this. So let's please think about preserving it. Thank you.
Uddhava Prabhu followed by Mother Kirti Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Well, thanks for the opportunity. Well, I just like to say maybe a few words of gratitude, of thankfulness for what Prabhupada, I have experienced all these years in Krishna consciousness. I had the opportunity to travel pretty much, I'll say half of the earthly planet, maybe in India, Asia, here, South America, Europe. I just want to say, Prabhupada, that, you know, thank you very much for the opportunity that you have given me and, of course, my family. And I'm grateful that all these years I just have enjoyed Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, you know, through life, as Mother Rasa Manjari was saying, you know, distress, happiness and distress are, you know, mistakes as humans came into my life. However, just want to say, Prabhupada, thank you very much for all these years of mercy that I have received throughout the association and the devotees, and especially here since I came to Alachua. I had the opportunity to enjoy all these years of, you know, year after year association with the devotees, chanting, prasad, dancing, reading. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Madan Mahamaya, followed by Kirtan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So, thank you for the opportunity to speak again. I saw Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan in 1975, like it was August. And Prabhupada would go up onto the roof of his Vrindavan quarters in the evening. And the windows from the guest house were overlooking that veranda. So they were making announcements in the morning to, you know, give Prabhupada his privacy and not, you know, not look out the window. Well, two confessions. I looked out the window anyway. Not only me, but the Brahmacharini ashram was actually one of the rooms at the guest house. And we'd turn off all the lights in the room so that they, you know, he couldn't see us as well. But, you know, Prabhupada was just so attractive. Like, those announcements just, you know, it didn't convince us that we shouldn't look out the window. So what we saw was sometimes, some evenings, Prabhupada would be walking back and forth alone, chanting japa. And sometimes we'd see his friend Bhagaji talking to him. And also we would see one of his servants at that time was Navayogendra, who's now Maharaj. He was a brahmachari at that time. And he actually really impressed me because every single time he came in Prabhupada's presence, he would offer obeisances. And every time he'd leave, he'd offer obeisances. And, you know, the Western devotee, and he's, you know, Indian, from India. And I just felt like, us Westerners, we just didn't have that level of respect. Like, I would see other people kind of cutting corners, you know, and not doing that. And sometimes he would come up onto the roof in the evening with, it looked like it was a papadam, like probably dry roasted papadam. And he would bring them to Prabhupada. Anyway, so, you know, besides, you know, confessing to spying on him, one very embarrassing thing happened. It took me many years to be able to talk about this in public. But anyway, the story goes that Prabhupada would go on his morning walk in Vrindavan, and while he was out of his quarters, that was the time we'd clean his quarters. So he wouldn't inconvenience him. You know, we didn't have to ask. Well, anyway, the rooms are empty. So my service was to polish his brass items. He had a few things on his desk, and he also had a lota in the bathroom. And when I finished polishing everything, I would put them back where they belong. So this one morning, someone said, oh, Srila Prabhupada came back from his morning walk early. And I heard it, but it didn't dawn on me that, you know, Prabhupada was back in his quarters. And I just went about doing what I had been doing, and I didn't even knock on the bathroom door because I didn't think he was around, you know, and I just was going to put the lota back inside. So I just push open the bathroom door, and there is Srila Prabhupada walking towards me with his dhoti kind of hiked up, probably looking for the lota that was in my hand. And I was just so shocked. I just hit the floor, and of course the brass, you know, clang on the floor. And I just, I left them right there on the floor. I left the lotus, and I just dashed out of the room. And then I was like, I really was frantic. I was like, I am going to get the royal boot out of this movement. I've offended Prabhupada, and I was frantic. I didn't know what to do. I went up to my room. Okay, one devotee who lived in Vrindavan for a long time Her name is Gunishvara's married, wait, Vishalini. She was married to Vishal, but anyway. Vishalini had been living in Vrindavan for a while, and she when I first met her, she gave me information about Prabhupada that I just took as like the absolute truth. Because she was around, and I had arrived, so. The principles were, Prabhupada liked three things. He liked it when devotees read his books, he liked when devotees gave him money, and he liked when devotees smiled at him. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but like I said, I believed it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to give Prabhupada some money to to offset this offense I just made. I didn't have money, you know. Didn't even expect to stay in India. Anyway, I took a 10-rupee note, which admittedly was worth a lot more than it is today. But still, it was about a dollar. But still, even a dollar, you know, that was the exchange at the time, but, you know, it was worth more. Still, it was nothing. And I wrote this note, I don't know what I wrote, asking for his forgiveness. I put the money inside, and I went to the temple room. So by this time, Guru Puja had been going on for a while, and all the devotees had already offered their flowers. So I'm coming in there at the end, and when I went up to offer my flowers, I put the envelope with the note and the money on the Vyasasana. And I think I made sure that his servant noticed. I can't remember who his servant was at the time, but I wanted them to pick it up, you know, and bring it to him. So then I didn't know what to do. I was like still sure that I was going to get kicked out. But at the time, one of my services was typing Prabhupada's letters. And actually, Prabhupada was giving the letters to Brahmananda Swami, he was Swami at the time. And then Brahmananda would make a tape and give me the word-for-word letter. And I would take it to my room and put it in a tape recorder and type up a rough draft. So I was like going back and forth into Prabhupada's rooms to, you know, interact with Brahmananda about the letters. So when I went there that day, or maybe it was like a day or two later, and I hadn't, you know, I hadn't gotten the royal boot. I was still there, but I was still waiting for the axe to come down on my head. And I told Brahmananda that I had offended Prabhupada. He goes, what did he do? And I guess I must have told him. And he goes, well, did he act offended? I'm like, well, I didn't stick around long enough to see, you know. I mean, I had darted out of there so fast. And he just goes, it's okay. It's all right. And then slowly I calmed down about it. But one good thing that came of my interacting with Brahmananda is he was concerned about carrying Prabhupada's typewriters, and he usually traveled first class, which had a lot larger luggage allowance. But they were flying within India, very little luggage, and they were planning to go to this Pandal program in Ahmedabad. So he was asking me about luggage. Somehow, maybe he was inviting me to come there, but somehow that's what happened, is that he put the idea in my head that I should go to Ahmedabad. To make a long story short, I went on the same airplane with Srila Prabhupada. As it turned out, I had my own typewriter, so I didn't, they somehow worked it out with the luggage. They didn't depend on me. I had so many pieces of luggage. Anyway, do I have more time to tell this about Ahmedabad? Okay. So when we got to, let's see, try to tell it in a succinct way. I had a ticket that was actually to Bombay, but this plane was making two stops and then Bombay. So basically, to go to Ahmedabad, I was getting off the plane early. Well, this concept didn't go over too big with the airport authorities. Besides which, it was a ticket from a date a month before. I mean, it was, but this was the days of handwritten tickets, and They accepted that I had a ticket to Bombay, even though it was the wrong date, but they just had a problem because I was getting off early. They said, well, if there's enough seats on the plane, then you can come. So you have to stand over to the side, let anybody else on. If there's enough room, you can go. So meanwhile, Prabhupada and his entourage of three men had gone into the airport, and I had to wait. So finally they said, okay, there's enough room, you can go. So I come into the waiting room. This is the old Bombay airport that had like concrete floors and benches, not even individual chairs. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting, wherever he was sitting, I went over to Prabhupada and offer my obeisances. Now I had a typewriter, I had like three bags over my shoulder. I had so many things. I was bringing things for other people. So when I got up from paying obeisances, I didn't see a seat. So in the American airports, we would sit on the floor. Of course, I wasn't considering that they're nice carpeted floors and everybody else was, you know, all the devotees were sitting on the floor. And this was a room full of businessmen. This was a 6 o'clock in the morning airplane, and it was no women and children. It was like all businessmen. And I just sat on the floor in front of Prabhupada and then looked up and kind of took in the scene. But I felt it was inappropriate to sit on the floor. And then Prabhupada just looked at me and moved his hand. Like this, just waved it a little bit. And the people on the bench who were next to him all scooted over and made room for me to sit. And so I sat down. Actually, it wasn't until I sat down that I just felt like such a fool. Anyway, to be a fool in front of the spiritual master is the proper process. So I fulfilled it to the T, being a fool. And can you tell more about Ahmedabad? When we got there, all the devotees came onto the tarmac and greeted Prabhupada as he came off the plane. And he was the first one off the plane, and they just surrounded him kirtan was going on, and they just, some gate opened up and they went off, and, you know, Prabhupada went to the person's house he was staying out. And I had my luggage, checked luggage, and one of the men in the entourage was staying back to get Prabhupada's luggage. So by the time I got to where Prabhupada was, you know, he had already been there for a while. It was a very rich man's house named Bogilal Patel. I could describe it, anyway, my book of memories, I describe his house, gorgeous house. Prabhupada was in the library, and just want to say what he preached to the family of this host was there, and his children, and there was a lot of young men. There was a lot of men. So Prabhupada said to them, so what are you doing in life? You know, and they said, oh, we are studying. And Prabhupada said, what are you studying? And they said, technology. This is 1975. You're studying technology. And then Prabhupada was talking about how in the West they have already perfected technology. And he started naming like his Grundig dictaphone, and you know how in Switzerland they make such fabulous watches, and then devotees were pitching in with more examples of really great technology that's already been perfected in the West to prove Prabhupada's point. And then he said to the men, he said, I want 100 young men from Ahmedabad to join the Hare Krishna movement. So I took that, you know, looking back after all these years, and it seemed like that instruction was not just for that location. It's probably come true now, though, probably several times over for Ahmedabad alone, right? What to speak of all the other locations in India. So I think I've said so much. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Kirtana Prabhu.
Mother Ruchira. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada. I was just thinking how wonderful it is that we become devotees. Like Srila Prabhupada one time said, his mystic powers were these devotees. And I was thinking the other day how amazing it is that Christian boys and girls or atheistic or Jewish or suddenly understand Krishna as a blue boy, herding cows in the spiritual world, playing his flute, and how amazing that is. And I wanted to tell when I got initiated, because it was quite nice. Srila Prabhupada was at the manor, at Bhaktivedanta Manor in London. And they told me you have to have a set of japa beads, a new set. And we didn't have any Lakshmi or anything, so I got all these beads that were like off of the string. And someone gave me bits of nylon string to tie up and put the beads on. So when Srila Prabhupada picked up my beads, they fell apart. And it was quite amazing because another part, we were at Bhaktivedanta Manor in the temple room, and all the devotees from Europe, so many devotees had come. It was so packed, you couldn't even move. All the German devotees that could come, the French devotees, so many devotees were there. And I had gotten a silk sari out of the donations, you know. So, and it was, you had to walk up a few stairs to Prabhupada's Vyasasan, and my sari was falling off, and I didn't even notice because it was like, oh my gosh, you know. Anyway, so I knelt down in front of Srila Prabhupada, and he asked me the four regulative principles, and I told him, and then he picked up my beads, and they broke. And he said, your beads have broken. I'm going, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And he said, your beads have broken. I said, yes. He said, that's all right. And then he said, your name is Ruchira. And he looked at Radha Gokulananda and he said, this is a name for Srimati Radharani. It means very palatable for Krishna. And it was just so nice. But then I noticed my sari was going down the stairs. So I had to kind of pull it all up and walk down these stairs. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my sari's falling off. My beads have broken. And what? And I'm sitting at the fire sacrifice feeling so bad. And then Mukunda Maharaj came over and he said, what's wrong? I must have looked like, I don't know. And I said, I think I'm going to bloop. Because devotees were saying, every initiation, someone's going to bloop. So I said, all this is so... He said, why? And I said, it's so inauspicious. My beads have broken. My sari fell off. And then he said, wherever Srila Prabhupada is, there's no inauspiciousness. He said, no worries, no inauspiciousness. So that was so nice. And after that, Srila Prabhupada would come regularly to London, and it was just such nectar because you could clean his rooms and do so many things. And one time when he left, he was going to the Kumbh Mela, and the temple president was asking everyone, would you make rasgullas for Srila Prabhupada? I'll take him with me to the Kumbh Mela. And I said, I'll do it. So he said, okay, you make the rasgullas and pack them up and I'll take them. We're leaving tomorrow. So I made these rasgullas and gave him the jar of rasgullas and he took them. And then I never heard what happened to these rasgullas. He never said anything. So then those little red nectar books came out. And then I was reading in this nectar book that Banjahari came with a jar of rasgullas from London and gave to Srila Prabhupada at the Kumbh Mela. And he said, it said, Srila Prabhupada popped one in his mouth. And he said, even the Queen of England could not have rasgullas made in London brought to the Kumbh Mela to eat here. And he ate another one, and then he passed them out to all the devotees that were there. So that was so nice. And it was just so wonderful. The last time Srila Prabhupada came, we were in Ireland. We'd started the temple in Dublin. And so we came over to see Srila Prabhupada because we knew he wouldn't be there for long because he was going to continue on to America, and we knew that he wasn't so well. So we went there, and it was quite amazing because there was always information coming from Srila Prabhupada's rooms. We'd ask, what's happening now? What did Prabhupada say? And on his Vyas Puja day, Srila Prabhupada came, and he couldn't walk. He was carried in a palanquin. My husband actually got to carry Srila Prabhupada's palanquin down. And they sat it in front of his Vyasasana up on like a three stairs or something. Should I stop? Tamal Krishna Maharaj Jai Shishi Radha Sham Shishi Krishna Balaram Shishi Varni Jai. So then I lost my train of So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj was explaining all about different things that Srila Prabhupada did at the beginning to start this movement, and he was mentioning, yes, and he would give talks in different places. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, even in a garage. And then Tamal said, oh yes, one time Srila Prabhupada gave a talk in a garage, someone's garage, and they just kind of tidied it up a bit, and Prabhupada gave a talk in this garage. But he was so frail, and yet he was reciprocating. We would be chanting and sitting down quietly. He would wear sunglasses. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, you look like a space-age guru. Prabhupada laughed. But he'd be sitting there, and everyone would be chanting, sitting down. And then Prabhupada's finger, he would just go like this. And then everyone would stand up and start dancing in ecstasy, and he would smile, and it was so nice. And they would carry him up the stairs, and there's, you know, like a landing. Up, you go up, and then there was a landing, then you turn to go up to his rooms. And they would stop there and turn around. Srila Prabhupada would go like this and then go on up to his rooms. And one time he told a story that, well, his servant came out to tell us that Srila Prabhupada had had a dream the night before that the Vishnu Dutas had come to get him. And he said, and they were Caucasian. Everyone was laughing. But it was just... it was so nectar. I think every time Srila Prabhupada came to the manor, just to be with him was just, everything was gone. Fearless. If you had problems, they were gone, whatever. At one point when Srila Prabhupada's coming, and I used to always stay back and clean or do things, but the GBC, Hansadutta said, would you like to come with us in our car to go and greet Srila Prabhupada? And I thought, oh, yes. So I got in the car with Himavati and him, and we're going along, and the car breaks down. I'm going, oh no. So then the temple president comes along in his car, and he says, you can come in my car. But there was no room for me. And I'm going, oh, here I am on the side of the road now, and what's going to happen? Then the Sankirtan van comes and says, come on, you can come with us. So I got in the van, and it was all men, brahmacharis, but I'm going along, and then that van breaks down. And then we're almost at the airport. He said, come on, I know a bus that'll take us there. So we go and get this bus, and we get on the bus, but nobody has any money. So then one of the brahmacharis says, I'll just collect off everybody, and he's handing out. And he gets the money for all of our ticket to the bus and gives it to the conductor. He said, okay, go on. So we get on the bus and we're going down. Heathrow's a huge airport. So we're going along. And then we see Srila Prabhupada's car going past. And we're going, oh no. So then we get off the bus and we start running back the way the man was going. And then the Sangatan, other Sangatan van said, come get in the van, we're going back. Prabhupada's already arrived. And I was thinking, why didn't I stay back and clean his rooms and things? Why did I? Anyway, so we're going along, and then that van breaks down. So then I thought, okay, forget it. Now he's arriving at Bhaktivedanta Manor. I don't even get to see him there. And then he's going to be in his room, and then that's the end of it. And then we got there late, and then... But then Srila Prabhupada had us come up to his rooms. And it was so nectar. You know, sitting there, and he was speaking to some people who had come, and we were sitting there listening, and... It just, then all of that problem, trying to see Srila Prabhupada, it was just all gone. And he just removed all of those anxieties. And I think for now, even now, all anxieties are gone once you take shelter in Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And all of our problems shrink down to the size of the calf's footprint. It seems so oceanic sometimes, all the difficulties in life. But they shrink down as soon as we take shelter, Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and the other devotees. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Nikandapur.
Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So I was very honored earlier today. I wasn't here in the morning, but I was able to attend a nice program at my father-in-law's house, where we had very nice kirtan and offerings to Srila Prabhupada, remembrances, and hearing from Srila Prabhupada. And so I just wrote a small poem and offering I would like to share also with the devotees here, and Srila Prabhupada, of course, and the deities. So a little impromptu, because some of it I didn't have time to write. But Srila Prabhupada, thank you for everything, and especially for giving us Krishna best. Srila Prabhupada gave us the best of the best. So he taught us how to make everything for Krishna, which is best. So you taught us that by taking and giving only the best from both the East and the West, that by going deep to pass the test of pleasing Krishna, that he's got the rest. So that was a short poem, and then an offering, my dear Srila Prabhupada. You are the most dear servant of your stalwart lion-like spiritual master, and the best empowered ambassador of the limitless and causeless mercy of Gauranga Nityananda and the supreme divine couple Shri Radha Damodar, Shri Radha Shyamasundara. It is you and you alone who have manifested and given the world this greatest gift of pure unalloyed devotional service, bhakti yoga, to the Svayam Avatar, Sri Krishna. And you are personally creating and holding the pious credits and spiritual bank account of each and every sincere soul aspiring to become a devotee in this dark and scary material pit of Kali Yuga. You are thus known throughout the entire universe as Patita Pavana, the most merciful Jagat Guru of the most fallen. Kindly consider that even after these 40 years now, following your departure from our physical sight, you are still very much present in the core of our hearts as the guiding light and resonant voice of Paramatma, Supersoul. Even though you seemingly left, you took us with you in your heart, and you are still keeping us there close with you as we are holding onto your lotus feet in ours. I pray that you never let us go and always keep us connected in mind, body and heart with Krishna and with yourself, and somehow or other make us finally and fully offerable to the Supreme Lord. Jai Shri Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. I think the word that I have been thinking about the last hour or so is gratitude. And even that seems like a small word when you consider how much Srila Prabhupada has given us, that we have such a large family. Many of us joined Krishna consciousness and gave up all we knew of family, friends, and society, ambitions and aspirations in this world. And so we come to this fledgling movement, which is growing every day, and we have to have great gratitude for being given the spiritual family aspirations and goals to work towards in Krishna consciousness. We have so many uncles and so many aunts and so many grandfathers and grandmothers and nieces and cousins. All new family and wonderful family, and goals that instead of being like we always like to use on Sankirtan, the analogy, you may have so much money, you may have so much wealth, you may have so much knowledge, but if you are putting it in the wrong bank account, then what is like so many zeros without a one before it? So as devotees, everything that we're putting away is neha bikramo nashvasti prativyo. It's just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and it's growing and it's growing, and pretty soon we'll have, for the younger ones, we'll even have their own grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. And this is one thing I always love about seeing families that are very well-functioning, where you see the grandfather enjoys having the grandchild on the lap and all the kids running around. And so the grandfather's heart is bursting with joy because the affection from the younger generations. And so we always have that feeling of great gratitude for our beloved Srila Prabhupada, who gave us, has given us so much. And for many of us who aren't so fortunate to have had Srila Prabhupada's personal association, when I joined Srila Prabhupada, when I was coming to the temple, Srila Prabhupada had already left the area for the last time physically, and he would not be coming back. And very shortly, Srila Prabhupada, the next year, left the planet. And so I never got to see Srila Prabhupada in person, but I always felt like I had so much. And so now, so many years later, I have so many uncles and aunts and grandfathers and grandmothers and so many cousins and nephews and nieces. And the family is so wonderful, and there's so much knowledge that has been shared. And as we were hearing earlier, Srila Prabhupada will be alive in his books. He is alive in his books. And we just have to take shelter of reading Srila Prabhupada's books and studying Srila Prabhupada's books and getting more from Srila Prabhupada's books by giving it to others every chance we get. Wherever our lives take us, we can always be prepared to give Srila Prabhupada's teachings of Shishi Gaur Nitai and Radha Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Lord Nrisimhadev, all these so many wonderful opportunities in life. Really, our lives no bounds due to our great fortune. We should always feel this gratitude, and therefore I thank Srila Prabhupada and all the wonderful devotees, young and old, for allowing me to be a part of this wonderful family. Thank you.
When the Leelamrita first came out, I was distributing them at the airport, and volume 2 came out first. So I distributed volume 2 at the airport. We got a few copies because I guess we were book distributors, so we got a couple advanced copies. So I was passing them out, and I used to put my name and Guru Prasad and ISKCON and a phone number. If you have any questions, you can call. So one day I was distributing books, and I heard my name, Guru Prasad, Guru Prasad, real loud. And I turned around, and there was this man in suit and tie with a briefcase. And I said, are you calling me? And he said, yes, yes, come, come, come. He said, you gave me volume 2. Where is volume 1? I want to read about this personality. Please, I need volume 1. And I had just gotten volume 1 in the mail from my Guru Maharaj, Yashasvi Maharaj, my personal copy. I hadn't even read it yet. So I said, I do have volume 1. You can have it. And he said, I knew you'll have it. I knew it. So I gave it to him. He was so happy. He walked away. And so I'm just saying, for people who have not met Prabhupada, was so, they were so moved by his biography. And another time, I was distributing books, and the big Krishna books came out with Prabhupada at the back. You know, the shiny books, Prabhupada picture was at the back. And we used to distribute at the airport, and there are certain places we can distribute. But you know how devotees are, those are the places we go, because usually we can't distribute there because there are many people there. So I was going down the stairs, they have these elevators going down the staircase, and I saw one man, he started looking at me, and I thought, oh God, this is trouble. So I started walking the other way, I thought, you know, he will say something. So he ran, he got out from the crowd, and he ran, and he grabbed my arm, and I said, sir, please, please, I'm going to go the other way, you know, it's okay. He said, no, 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 I want to talk to you. And I said, what is it? He said, this man here, he saved me, he saved me. And I said, this man, this? He said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. He didn't say Prabhupada, I said, you know, Srila Prabhupada. He said, yes. He said, I can't remember if he was sick or he had a dream, but he said, these Yamadutas, of course he didn't know what they were, these people came and they were dragging me. And this man came and he went like this. And they stopped and they went away. And he said, I've been looking for this man ever since. Where is he? And so I said, well, he's no longer on the planet, but I think he was from Austria or something. So I turned in the book and they had the addresses, and I gave the addresses. So even though I'm just saying Prabhupada is so present in everything, in every way, so even I've seen him in book distribution, I've seen him in prasadam distribution, I've seen him addressing the deities. So Prabhupada is present all over in this movement. We just have to be very sincere and confident and want to, you know, serve Prabhupada, and of course we'll get the mercy. I talked to my husband today and he said that they were able to take Prabhupada and Parikram around Govardhan. Prabhupada wanted to go to Govardhan before he left his body. And he said somewhere or other they took him around this year. It was 12 hours and he said it was the most blissful thing he ever experienced. You know, devotees were chanting the whole time and they were able to fulfill this one desire, Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, the first time I came to this movement, I was a new bhaktin, and I was standing in the temple, I was sitting for class, and a devotee, older devotee, I won't mention his name now, he was giving class, and in the middle of a class, he said, my name was Chandra when I first came to the movement, and in the middle of the class, he said, you stand up. And that was me, Chandra, stand up. And I stood up and he said, this is the color of Lord Chaitanya's movement, color of Lord Chaitanya. So this is, I can't remember all the things he said, but I became very self-conscious. And I've always been a little nervous of speaking because I'm always thinking, you know, I was put on the spot right as a bhakti. And then another time I was in Vrindavan, it was Prabhupada's disappearance day. And you know, there were so many devotees there, all these sannyasis, everybody was sitting down. And Brahmananda Prabhu was emceeing the program. And after two or three sannyasis spoke, he called and he said, the next week will be Guru Prasad. So I know there was a Guru Prasad Swami, so I thought he must be calling on Guru Prasad Swami. And so I was standing at the back and he said, no, you, Guru Prasad Devi Dasi, please stand up and say something about Prabhupada, please. And so I felt very self-conscious and I can't remember what I said that day, but I said, I'll never speak in public again. So I've always been a little self-conscious, but something, I always felt like it was something, every time I was in a congregation or something, people were always calling, they expect me to glorify Srila Prabhupada. And I said, I should be glorifying Prabhupada, I'm not grateful enough. So all these years I've been trying to cultivate some gratefulness. I'm very grateful, but sometimes I can't express it because I think people are expecting me to say something beyond my realization. But I'm very grateful to be in ISKCON. I'm very happy to do some service. I'm very happy to be in a family of great devotees. I can't think of a better place I'll be and a better thing I want to do with my life. So I'm very, very grateful. You know, I come from a family of Hindus and I see my brothers and sisters and they live very pious lives, but I won't want to live that life. And I'm so happy here. And if I've commit any offenses to anybody, please forgive me. I want to stay. I want to do some service to Srila Prabhupada. I want to serve all of you. So if I commit any offense, please forgive me, just like a family member. Hare Krishna.
Okay, this is just a quick story.